The Money Show.
Small business.
Pavlopatsidis from Auric Business Accelerator. You see, I got it right.
You did.
Vroom. Now, okay. Without sales, a business is about as well not bother opening its doors. Because if you don't have somebody or something selling what it is you produce, whether it's your ideas factory or whether it be your widget factory or whether it be your popcorn with extra special flavors that have to go into retail, if nobody's selling that stuff, you're dead.
It's not entirely true, Bruce.
Why not?
What if you are a state-owned entity?
Okay, we're talking about business here. We're talking about small business. We're talking about real world.
So not Eskom and not those types of services.
No. We're not talking about the stuff that comes your way and you get a bill regardless. We're talking about the stuff that people choose, the stuff that we've got control over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely right. Without sales, there's nothing.
Okay.
There's nothing to be done.
You need people.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people.
Yes.
Because you started your business and you were the chief cook and bottle washer and salesperson at the same time. And you know everything about the sales engine in your business and you drive it.
Well, no. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way, because if you think about it and you want to go right back to the genesis of your business, the early stages, the earliest days, those dark, dark hours, the first thing is that when you start selling, Bruce, you have an idea of what you are selling. You have an idea of who your customer ought to be. You know, literally anyone who says yes, you'll say yes to, because you're chasing that cash flow. So the earliest days of selling are really, truly, honestly reliant on you. But here's the thing. Most entrepreneurs who start businesses, and let's say who start businesses more in the hard fields, the product entrepreneurs, the manufacturers, the entrepreneurs in the industrial spaces, are first and foremost often technically, they have a technical affinity more than anything else.
They weld like champions.
And they can create beautiful products and they can create incredible designs. They can construct a fantastic service. And that's where the true joy comes from. It doesn't come from the selling process, because the selling process is often conflictual. It's full of rejection. And in those very early days, when you are on your own, when someone says no to you, it's literally like saying to an artist, I don't like your piece of work that you have poured.
I don't like your painting.
It's a tough, tough process. But if you don't start doing it, Bruce, you can never, ever figure out what business you're in.
Okay. But there's a difference between a sales force and a sales engine. And I'm guessing that you like the engine idea. What's the difference between an engine and a force?
Okay. Well, a sales force is really made up of people. It's made up of people who might have some form of alignment or not. It largely is, by definition, a business that relies on, let's say, the individual capabilities of the sales team or the sales people. It relies on an asset that walks into the business in the morning and walks out in the afternoon.
Generally, they're paid by commission. And if they are well remunerated, in other words, you give them a high percentage of everything they sell, they stick around and they're very happy. But then they become quite expensive after a while, even though they're generating lots of sales.
I've never, ever come across a well-structured package for a salesperson
that's ever expensive. Would you be happy if your salesperson earned more than you?
I get frustrated when that person doesn't. Very frustrated.
Because then they're not doing their job properly.
Well, it's not when it comes down to it, either I'm not doing my job properly, or they're not doing their job properly, or a combination of the two. And the sales lead, the sales individual this is the individual who goes to the coalface every single day. And the most valuable thing that they can come back with, beyond a sale, of course, is why the service or product didn't sell. Because, Bruce, if you're not in tune to that, it's quite tempting as an entrepreneur to often say, oh, these customers are so stupid. What do they know? They don't see the beauty in this product. They don't see the value in the service. And it might actually not be them. Because the salesperson's true, true job is to go to a client or a customer, and when the answer is no, to ask the simple question, why? Because in why, you learn to understand that a business is not about products. It's about problems. If you solve a problem, you can literally put anyone in front of that client or customer, and a sale will be made.
Okay, so that's the sales force, the sales person, the sales individual, or the sales team, but the sales machine, the sales engine? What is that?
But can I just make one more point about, because you're going to say, here he goes again, and I really am going to go again. The big difference between a business and a business that's been built into an asset of value is a sales team versus the sales engine. And I'll give you an example. Very often, certain businesses work in a certain structured industry where you don't work directly with your customer. So we have these things called resellers in certain industries. Mm-hmm. You make a particular product. You have a number of resellers. They're channels that go to the final customer. That's, in a sense, working with a sales team type structure. And I think it's terrifying because the rate and pace of change is increasing in business. It's definitely not decreasing. And if someone says, oh, well, you know, my day it felt the same way. Absolutely not. It's changed.
So what is the sales engine?
The sales engine is, it's more than a person. It's a system.
No.
And it's the system that creates the asset of value. It's the system that doesn't walk in and out of the business every day. It's a part of the business beyond the individual operating that system.
Salespeople can be quite mobile. I mean, they are driven by the financial reward. They might like the product. They may love the product. They may love the business. They may love you. But, you know, you give them 5% of every sale and they can get 5% of a bigger sale that's an easier widget to sell. But go there. It's about doing the sale, not necessarily about the love for the job or the product.
Well, you know, that becomes very interesting as a debate because there's a big difference between selling something and taking an order for something.
Absolutely, I get you. But at the same time, they're highly mobile. So if you've got a system in place that allows you to plug additional individuals or new individuals or a new sales executive into the system, then that implies that you don't get left hanging every time somebody leaves.
Absolutely right. And beyond that, you attract the best salespeople out there because a salesperson, someone who is driven to actually achieve, to make the commission, to build the business, wants a good system behind them. That system takes the administrative pain and the guesswork out of the selling process.
So what's more important, the team doing the selling or is it the process?
You know what? I think they're both equally important. But here's the thing. You've got to build the process before you build the team.
Okay. What comes first, the process or the team? Give us a call on 021-446-0567, 011-883-0702. Lessons from the sales coalface. We'll take your calls tonight. I love this SMS that's come through after I'm going to say it. It's a bad word. Four letters. Block children's ears and your own if you're offended. Don't let go of the steering wheel. After a crappy day, your passion for business comes through. It teaches me how to think every show. Thank you for lifting us business people up and reminding us to have fun and passion in what we do. Isn't that nice?
Wonderful.
It is nice.
Wonderful.
The Money Show.
Small business.
Sebastian in Q, you've got a question for Pavlo. Hello, Sebastian.
I've got a question and a statement. The question is, how should marketing efforts be redirected as a business grows? Do you want a statement at the same time?
Well, you can give us a statement. Is it a bank statement? Are you prepared to share?
I'll share my overdraft with you.
No, that's fine. That's okay. We're all right.
The statement is that it's vitally urgent that the police confiscate Pavlo's passport. He should not be allowed to emigrate. I don't know of any other single person in this country that promotes employment the way he does.
Sebastian, you're a star.
That's my statement.
You know what? You don't need police. Don't get they've got important jobs. I'll just take it. It's fine. Sebastian, he's got no intention of going anywhere. He's got a business, a family. He's got. He's busy. He's got opportunity. You're an optimistic guy. I mean, you go through waves when you go, oh my goodness me, I can't believe what people are doing. But actually, I think you're overall. You met Jeff Immelt the other day, the general.
Yes, that's
guy.
Right.
You guys hit it off.
Yeah, no, he really educated me. He gave me a helicopter view. He's a man who does business, I think, in 164 countries. It's a lot of countries if
a
you think about
number.
It. And the discussion went like this. I said, why are you here? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, Barclays is busy withdrawing out of South Africa and Africa. Our economy is growing at 0.8%. It was, I think, just after Nenegate, which suggested that we've got like issues with politics and business. There's this chasm that's grown, and we don't have any economic direction that I'm at least clear on. And he turned around and he said, yes, but you know, it's interesting because as GE, we recognize this environment as one needing healthcare, one needing transport support, one needing energy, new energy, clean energy. And we are the digital industrial leaders in all four or five of those areas. Secondly, he said, this is a cycle. We're a business that's 142 years old. We've seen these cycles come and go. It's a cycle. And the third thing he said, I would literally be fired if I did not move into markets where our products are needed and markets that are largely underdeveloped. That's where our growth lies. Mm. And I took a step back and thought, wow, how true. Very interesting tale.
Okay, so to the question.
Yes, to the question. How does it change over time?
Yes.
So in the very early years, and you know, there's no such thing as early years. Let's call it the startup period, Bruce. The single most important thing an entrepreneur can do is focus entirely on sales. And you and I have had this debate before. And you should sell at literally any cost. Because in the selling process, you get to understand customers. In the selling process, when you have that conflict in the early days of someone saying no with you, if you learn to engage in that conflict, you learn to understand what kinds of customers there are out there, and most importantly, that not all people will be your customers. That allows you to get a clear sense of what we call a segment. And if you can relate the problem of the segment to the solution that you provide by either a product or service, it's the richest experience you can get.
Okay.
After that, your job should change. You need to build a selling system. After that, you've got to employ people who are going to fly with that system.
Aveen Budram wants to fight with you on that point. I'm going to fight with you on his behalf in just a moment. But Bill, in four ways, give us your perspective. Hello, Bill.
Hello there. Yeah, it's Bill here, Bill of Four Ways. I believe very simply that systems run the business and people run the systems. If you've got good systems, then the people can run the business and you've got no problems at all.
Oh, brilliant. I think you're absolutely right, Bill, and for West. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, there's point to creating a great system and then sort of not having great people to run them.
Absolutely. And in fact, Bill, you know what? There's an entrepreneur that I've done some really interesting work with. He is an individual that runs, I'll put it to you this way, it's in the courier industry. And he has not met 98% of his customers. And it is the fastest growing courier business in South Africa today, because the systems generate the sales and the systems retain those clients.
Okay, good systems.
Great business.
Now, Aveen Budram, he says, I disagree with Pavlo somewhat. Ooh. Get a group of great salespeople together and let them help define the process. Why should you build a system that people latch into? Can your people not build the system with you?
Because
collaborative system.
Well, because look, Aveen, a salesperson coming on board is going to be focused on doing deals. They're not going to be focused on the broader business strategy. They're not going to be focused on building an integrated set of systems, something that Bill referred to earlier. And I think that simply bringing on salespeople and throwing all your hopes and all your prayers and all your wishes onto those individuals is a risky business. Because here's the thing. Without a system to measure the performance of an individual, how do you know that they're actually doing a great job? I have worked with salespeople who can sell literally ice to an Eskimo, but talk is cheap. The numbers need to show the walk.
And again, and this is a broad generalization, my sense of salespeople is they love the chase. They are less interested in what happens in the background. They want to come back and input the data and input the information and move on to the next chase.
I think that's largely true. You know, it's very interesting. When a salesperson gets a deal done, the deal's done. And yet, when a deal is done, it's only 10% of the entire job. You've still got to do the delivery. So if you don't guide your salespeople into the right customer, the right direction, and salespeople go about selling literally to anybody and anyone, you would never be able to build a delivery mechanism, something that will fulfill those customer promises in a manner that allows for stability in the business. Because if you try and be everything to everyone, something we speak about often, you land up being nothing to anyone.
Pavlo Fotidis, the philosopher, the guy with no passport because I've taken it away from him, and the man who brings you small business insights and wants to grow business, wants to grow the economy, wants to help South Africa do exactly that. Pavlo Fotidis from Auric Business Accelerator.